Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Tuesday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given us opportunity once again to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you. I thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any question about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone line will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us at the email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD, the number 2, MAN @gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give unto you. Glory be to God. So, once again, we thank God for another blessed day, and wherever you're listening to me at, why don't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Most gracious God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for another day that you have made and created, another time that you have caused us to assemble together in your word and preparing us to hear what thus says the Lord this day. We petition you again for your spirit to be with us and to release into our hearts the understanding we need of this day. So, Lord, remember us as we take this journey into your word once again, that we may learn the truth in Jesus' name. And, Lord God, we will give you glory and honor and praise and magnify you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Today we are continuing with part two and perhaps the second and final part to this part of the series. It is entitled, Is It Possible to Sin in a Dream? Now, this was a question that came up on one of the shows I mentioned to you called Ask the Pastor, which once again, I think is a very godly blessed show. I thank God for it. And this person that sent in this question wanted to know this. Now, as you hear the pastor say on there and they write about this, sometimes some questions that are asked, you know, you don't know the nature of why the question was asked. Many times you're not given that and you have to do the best you can in the Lord in answering. And so on that, in part one, I share with you all by defining what is a dream. And according to Webster, it is a series of thoughts, images, or emotions occurring during sleep. And so the word that stood out the most in that definition is images, okay? And it can be thoughts, but once again, images and things in sleep. But also, I talked to you all about there are, besides, you know, a natural effect, for example, as I mentioned, you know, some people, you know, may eat certain things late at night and they might have nightmares. But anything besides that, I talked to you about primarily dreams. When they have the message, will fall under three categories. And one I share with you is dreams that come from God. There are dreams, images that you see when you sleep that comes from God. Number two, soulish dreams. There are dreams or images that you see when you sleep that resonated from within your soul. Many times that it could be something going on with you within. Sometimes it can reflect on you from, let's say, something you were watching on TV, something you was listening to. And so those are soulless dreams. And the third one I was left off with you last was dreams that come from Satan. And I stressed to you I wanted to work on that third one, and it was for a particular reason. Now, in the answer to the question, is it possible to sin in a dream? Well, you may be dreaming that you're sinning, and also the person wanted to know, not only is it possible to sin in a dream, but will God hold your account of that? And the answer in a sense is no, but I don't want you to just look at why I say no to that and don't understand that the dreams can be giving or conveying messages, okay? So I don't want you to ignore the dream, the images. Many times the images is showing you something. Just like God may be showing you, let's say if it was a dream from God, he may be revealing something to you that you have, that you either are doing or had been doing that is a sin. So the image is to show what you are, quote, doing or had been doing, okay? So you held account for what you're doing or had been doing. God is just using the dreams as a vehicle to convey the message, okay? It's just like in the soulless dreams, okay? The soulless dreams, there's images reflected that may be something going on within you. And sometimes, you know, it can reflect that your soul is tied to someone or something, okay? So you still would need help and deliverance there, which will only come through the power of the Holy Spirit. And now, the third thing I was working on with you about was dreams that come from Satan. And the reason why I wanted to work on this a little bit, because there are some in the body of Christ who think that Satan cannot bring you dreams. Now, one thing that they do bring up, and in one sense, I understand what they're saying, because in a sense, they are right. They said that there's no direct scripture that says that Satan can bring dreams. So far from what I've seen, in a sense, that they are right. But however, as I gave you the example of abortion, some people may think that the Bible doesn't talk about abortion, but it does. And just because you don't see the word abortion in the Bible directly doesn't mean that God does not talk about it, okay? So just because you don't see something directly said doesn't mean that God is not does not speak on it, okay? And so I think the last thing that I left off with you was a testimony that I gave to you concerning a dream that Satan brought to me. And, you know, for those of you who are first-time listeners, as you listen to part two here, go back and listen to part one to hear my testimony on that dream. Amen? And so I want to continue to work on this concerning dreams that come from Satan. And let's go to Second Book of Corinthians chapter 2. Second Book of Corinthians chapter 2. And I pray that those of you listening, please hear this close, because I don't want you to run with part of something, okay? And, you know, and miss the whole thing, okay? Because when I tell you, well, no, God is not going to hold that account about against you because you dreamed it, but you are held account of your thoughts, okay? And like I said, it's more of that than, quote, the dream. The dream normally conveyed the messages, okay, and show you that something that is going on right now while you are here in this lifetime, okay? So Second Book of Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. Now, look what the Apostle Paul said. And this is what he said to the Corinthians. Remember, these are saved people that they're talking to. And he says, To whom ye forgive anything, I forgave also. I forgive also, rather. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person or presence of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. Okay? For we are not ignorant of his devices. I want to look at that word devices there for a minute. And we're told here in the scripture in verse 11 that Satan has devices. Okay? Now, the word devices in the Greek, coming from the Greek word noema. Noema means a perception that is a purpose. So he had purposes. It also means by implicating the intellect or the mind or the thinking, involves the mind, disposition, and it also, that Greek word also means the word device, our English word. So when you go from there, in Webster's dictionary under our English word device, which you will see more than one definition, one that I want you to look at that should stand out means something devised or contrived, a piece of equipment or a mechanism designed to serve a special purpose or perform a special function. Now you said, okay, why are you giving me that definition? Because dreams, get this, can be that mechanism, just like unforgiveness in this verses here we were looking at, because Paul said, I forgave, you know, those you forgave, I forgave in the presence of Christ, lest Satan get advantage of us. Well, how can he get advantage? Through that unforgiveness. That unforgiveness would be the mechanism or the device he can use. And so if he can use unforgiveness, okay, to get advantage, then that also means he could use dreams. Okay? And dreams can be used as a mechanism, okay? Glory be to God. See, Satan could bring, because remember now, he's the tempter. And he can bring certain dreams to you to try to tempt you into sin. You understand what I'm saying? And see, even though we're not centering on dreams tonight in this question, more the center is, can you sin in a dream? But, you know, there are certain guidelines you can go by to determine whether what you dream came from God or Satan, or, quote, whether it is a soulless dream, okay? Amen. But, however, Satan has devices. Now notice that the Apostle Paul didn't say just device. He said, we're not ignorant of his devices. That is plural, meaning more than one. And there's no doubt in my mind that, and in my heart, that dreams can be one of the devices that Satan can use to get advantage over us. Okay? If we heed those dreams he brings. Because those dreams always going to promote you to sin, is out to try to plant, you know, something in your heart. Amen. Amen. All of that. Glory to God. Now, let's go to Zechariah, Old Testament, chapter 10. Zechariah, chapter 10, that's in the Old Testament. And we're going to look at verse number 2. Zechariah, chapter 10, and verse number 2. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, because like I said, the purpose of going this deep, you know, sometimes people just want you to just give an answer to the question. And don't get me wrong, sometimes time does not permit you to go into in depth on certain things that you say. That's true. But then, for the most part, sometimes you have time, okay? And You know, the funny thing about people is that people just want just the answer and not understand why that answer was given, okay? Which will pretty much help in that situation there, okay? For you to give a, because many times you need to understand why an answer was given, okay? Not just because it's yes or no, but why it says given, okay? Because that's part in the learning process, okay? Is, you know, and but see, sometimes people just want an answer and they too much in a hurry to try to find out why is that answer so, okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Zechariah chapter 10, verse 2, it says, "For the idols have spoken vanity, and the diviners have seen a lie, and have told false dreams." Okay? Amen. "They comfort in vain, therefore they went their way as a flock. They were troubled, because there was no shepherd." Now, notice that he said the diviners have seen a lie and told false dreams. Now, diviners are those that, for one thing, they had a connection in dealing with magic, the connection in dealing with the enemy. Now, notice something. It says that not only had they seen a lie, but they have told false dreams, okay? Now, where do you think these false dreams could come from? Well, Satan, right? Amen? Glory be to God. Amen. Because remember, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, when the Apostle Paul spoke of false apostles, then I believe the next verse or something like that, he says, he called these false apostles Satan's ministers. Okay? Satan's ministers. So Satan deals with falseness. So these diviners at that time, especially those who was dealing with that magic and stuff, and we know magic is connected to nothing but demonic power, they told false dreams. Now, some can look at it and say, well, false dreams could be dreams they just made up and never happened. That's true. But also it could have been, quote, dreams given to them that was not true. That came from what? From Satan. Because when it comes to falseness in Satan's repertoire, that's in his category. He is a liar. Okay? He deals with falseness. He don't deal with what you call what is known as truth. Truth. He always deal with falseness. So, therefore, when these diviners told these false dreams, okay, that could have been dreams given to them by Satan. You get what I'm saying? Because the enemy, and we got to understand, this is not to give the devil glory, but you got to remember, Satan has great power in this day and time. No power greater than God, but he has great power, okay? And like I said, there are some Christians that Satan cannot, you know, give dreams. And like I said, I beg to differ. I gave you my personal testimony of, you know, back in 1995 when Satan came to me in that dream. And afterward, I knew it was Satan. I knew it was him. And at first, throughout the dream, he had me fooled. I actually thought I was talking to one of the brothers in the church. Me and him just walking alongside one another and talking. But like I told you, whenever Satan is in a thing and he presents another picture to you other than what is true, he can't hold back his nature for long. You understand it? He can't hold his nature for long. That's why when it comes to whether something is true or not, especially people, that's why Jesus said a tree is known by its fruits. And see, it takes time for a fruit to develop on a tree. And see, sometimes people want to rush to something real fast, instead of sitting back, wait, and watching. You understand that? And so Satan deals with falsehood. So when these diviners told their false dreams, these are dreams. If it's false, it ain't God. Amen. God doesn't deal with falseness. That's not in the nature of God. Remember, falseness is in the nature of Satan, but it's not in the nature of God. Okay. So these diviners who had this dabbling in this magic and stuff went forth, and when they told these dreams, that they were false dreams, okay? And these false dreams had to come from the enemy, had to come from Satan. And so, like I said, you have, there are those who, among believers, who said, well, Satan can't show no dreams. Well, like, once again, I say this once again, I beg to differ. Okay. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So Satan can do that. Now, I'm going to say a little bit more on this. Some Christians may look at this verse here I read in Zechariah 10 and 2 and say, well, yeah, it's possible he could have did that to those diviners because they weren't the people of God, and that represent people that's not saved. I get what you're saying. But however, remember this. If that be the case, and you're right about that, that he was dealing with people that was not the people of God, and spiritually represent those that are not saved, those people that are not saved are unregenerated, right? Okay, think about this for a minute. If Satan is able to bring that false dreams to those unregenerated, that means he can deal with anything that is unregenerated, right? You said, well, where are you going with this, Brother Nate? Well, for example, we as Christians, remember what the Bible says. The Bible said that you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. And he said, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, and that which is born of the flesh is flesh. So when Jesus said it in John chapter 3, when he said that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, what he's saying is, if you look at the word in that third chapter, spirit mentioned twice in that one verse. The first word spirit, capitalized S, is the Holy Spirit. The second word spirit is your spirit. So your spirit became born again or regenerated. But notice that he didn't say that which is born of the Spirit is soul. Right? So your soul was not born again or regenerated in the new birth. And so that's why James chapter 1 said, receive the engrafted word that is able to save your souls. Okay? So if the soul still is in the unregenerated market, then that means, and remember, the soul is made of what? Your mind, will, and emotions. Then that means that Satan can get access to that area, right? Hallelujah. And so therefore, he can bring dreams to what? To the mind. To you while you're sleeping. To that unregenerated part. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. He can bring dreams. If you want to look at it that way, because, you know, people, and I've seen what some believers said, well, you got to look at it. If he did have someone's mind, it was someone that wasn't saved. Well, guess what? You being a Christian, if you remember what Romans chapter 12 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? By the renewing of your mind. If you as a believer don't renew your mind, you can stay open to where Satan can get access to your mind, and you're a believer. Oh, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. See, that's another thing that many believers just dismiss, and they don't get in the word. They don't renew their mind. They don't meditate on the scripture. They don't do what God said. And when you don't do that, you fail to understand
you're making that mine an easy access for the enemy. Because you heard many ministers say, what? The battle is in the mind. So you give them access to that part, okay? Amen. Glory be to God. Now, once again, I want to read a verse from the book, one of the books that the Bible support, in Isaiah chapter 28, and it's called the Word of the Lord, the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he has sent through his angelic messenger, the Elijah. I want to read a verse out of there, amen, because we're talking along these lines, you know, where people said that Satan, and one of the things he said in the rejection of Satan bringing dreams to believers is that they said, well, Satan can't get access to our soul. I disagree with that, because like I said, the soul is still in an unregenerated state. And this is why God told us to do something about it. Okay, he did something about your spirit. Amen. So he's telling you to do something about your soul. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let me read to you a message that the Lord sent. And this was July the 29th, 1930. And I want to read to you what he said here. And I want you to listen to this close. He said, remember, Satan has great power. He has enthroned himself in the minds of the people by the traditions he has planted in the hearts of all men and the pleasure of the world and pride, so that he has the controlling power among those that claim to love the Lord. Be not deceived by him. Now, did you hear that? Thank you, Jesus. The tradition is the device which Satan used to get access to the soul. Okay? Just like we read in Corinthians where Paul said that we're not ignorant of his devices. Okay? Hallelujah. And once again, I'm telling you, dreams can be a device that Satan can use to try to, quote, what? Get access to you. Get access to your soul. Get access to you. He can through dreams. Because, what? He's out to try to plant a seed. Remember what Jesus said in John 10? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Now, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. Look what the Word of God says. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. Look what he says. He says, neither give place to the devil. Did you hear that? So if the devil couldn't get access, let's say, to our soulless realm, if he couldn't get a place in us, why would the Word tell us not to give place to him? Why would we even have to worry about him having any place within us if he couldn't get access some kind of way? You get what I'm saying? Yes, he can. The devil can get access because, once again, your soul was not in the born-again process. Your spirit was. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. It didn't say soul. It didn't say flesh. Okay? You get what I'm saying? So with those two things especially, and along with our spirit, but especially with the soul and the flesh, God told us to do something about it. Did you know that? He told us in it. He said, receive the implanted word, the engrafted word that is able to save your souls. Okay? Then he said, bring your flesh under subjection. Apostle Paul said, I put my body under. That's when I preach to others, I myself would be a castaway. You get what I'm saying? So Satan, yes, he can get access, and he uses devices. to get access or an advantage over us. And dreams is one of the devices, okay? It's one of the mechanisms he can use to get access, okay? If you want to get inside a building, or let's say get in some it's somebody's car, and they gave you their key, and I ain't talking about you walk. I'm talking about what they call it, an alarm key or a switch key, where you could just push a button and unlock the door. Well, see that key is the mechanism that when you push button to get what, so you can get access into the car. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Amen. Glory to the living God. Now, I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to tell you why I'm going here. And this will open this up for me to talk a little bit more concerning these dreams. Because the question asks, can we see it in a dream? We want to understand what the dream really is to show. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, okay? Now, remember, I told you that there are dreams that come from God, okay? Amen. And I want to launch off from this verse here to talk about the overall picture concerning the dream, okay? What dreams or the images you had that when you sleep is really dealing with, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. Now, I'm going to start at verse 7 and go to verse 8. Now, look what the word says. It said, but the manifestation of the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, is given to every man to profit withal, okay, to be of service, to be used of God. For to one is given the Spirit by the Spirit, the word of wisdom, to another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Now, let's stop there. Now, you said, well, okay, why don't you go here, brother? And you talking about these dreams. Okay. The word of knowledge. When the gift of the word of knowledge is in operation, it reveals the present or past about a person, place, or thing. It gives revelation. Okay. It reveals something. And so these dreams in this category, one of the things dreams does, it's a mechanism that can be used to reveal something. Now, when it's given by God, if God gave you a dream and you saw in this dream from God and it was showing you were doing something that was wrong, and look at this way. When it comes from God and God showing you in this dream that you're doing something, you see in this dream you're doing something wrong, sometimes maybe it's perhaps something you were doing you didn't know was wrong, okay? And maybe it's being revealed to you in the dream or told to you in the dream, okay? Or God may be expressing his disapproval. Maybe you know you're doing it, and he is using the dream to express his disapproval or his thoughts on it, okay? But see, some dreams God give to you, and it may show that you're doing something wrong, okay? And sometimes there can be a dream where it's a word of knowledge that is revealing something to you about something you did that may have been wrong and you didn't know it, okay? Amen. So that dream is a mechanism or a device that God uses to convey a message, okay? Hallelujah. What you're held accountable for is what you're actually doing in this lifetime. But the dream is used as a mechanism to show you you're doing this and it's wrong. So you held account for what you is doing in this reality realm. Do you understand what I'm saying? Not so much as the images in the dream. Okay? Glory to God. Hul of Ashata. It's just like the soulless dreams. I told you that the soulless dream also can reveal something. It can be showing something that's going on in you. Just like Sam, you could be having a soulless dream where you're married, but you inappropriately liking another man or another woman, okay? Well, see, if it's a soulless dream, many times that can reflect that your soul, you may have became kind of, quote, soul tied to that person. So that what you held account, it ain't the dream per se. It's what your condition is in, you know, this reality. And that condition is you are tied to that person. That's what you're held accountable on. The dream is just showing the image, okay? The image is just showing what's going already going on within you. So what you would need help. You would need God to deliver you. And you say, Lord, cleanse my soul. Search my heart. Cleanse my soul. Okay? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And even when the devil bring you dreams, many times he'll bring you dreams and showing you something that it'd be showing his plan or what he wants to do to you or stuff like that and or what kind of seed he's trying to plant. Okay? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So I'm not giving you that answer for you to quote, dismiss a dreams. You got to see it as a mechanism, okay? But what you really held accountable is what you're doing in this dimension, in this reality, in this life. What are you doing, okay? That's what you held accountable on, okay? So you don't want to get up there and say, well, Brother Nate said, nah, you not possible to sin in a dream. But see, you in that state right now. And until you dismiss that state you're in right now, remember, it's a mechanism showing what you are now, okay? We all have had, I could say anybody have had some what I call off-the-wall dreams, some dreams, stuff like that. Some dreams you have dreamed that of stuff you saw on TV, stuff like that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we got to see dreams as the mechanism. You got to, but the real problem has to be dealt with. Many times the dreams are showing you the real problem that's going on right now. And it's used as a image. It's image. It's to show a picture. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I just thank God for his word, okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Oh, he's worthy to be praised and be glorified. Amen. He is worthy to be praised and be glorified. And see, that's what dreams is showing or to show you what you is you know, is many times reflect what's going on in this reality, okay? That's what it does, okay? Now, the one that wrote this, asked this question, like I said, I don't know all conditions, what was happening, stuff like that, that brought this question on. But perhaps, I'm thinking they had been dreaming about something that they were doing that they know is sin. Well, for the most part, it could have been something they're already doing. In this present reality, the dream is just reflecting or showing the picture, okay, of the condition of their heart. Maybe God is showing them the dream, is showing the condition of their heart. You understand what I'm saying? See, it can be different things. So that's already going on in their heart. That's what they're being held accountable on, is what's in their heart or what they're doing, okay? Hallelujah. The dreams is used as a mechanism to show that. You get what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Edible Hasha. Glory. Because, see, like I told y'all, that dream of that Satan came to me about. See, Satan, like I told you, he had someone for me. Now, I'd have been held more accountable, you know, if I, in the present, would have went and tried to hook up with whoever this person he had over there in that state. Okay? With that dream he gave, I can wake up, I can rebuke him, dismiss him. And I said, no, this is, because see, he had a plan for me. In the dream, he said, why didn't you marry that, and he called this person an unborn again Christian. And he was very mad, okay, very mad that I didn't do it, okay? Amen. But what was counting for me right is in this reality that whoever the person was, I didn't hook up with them. So therefore, that's what kind of, it, not so much as the dream, okay? Thank you, Jesus. And see, we got to see dreams as what they are. For the most part, they are mechanisms. They are devices. They are something that is used, okay? They're images to use to convey a message of something that's already going on, okay? So to the one that wrote this question, I would have to look at them like this, that if they had a dream about them doing something that was sinful, that dream was either revealing something that's going on within them that they want to do, or let's say if it's from God, God was revealing the thing that was in their heart, okay? And as I told you before, there are different applications you can use to apply to see whether a dream is from God or not, or a soulless dream, okay? Amen. Now, I want to look at a couple more scriptures here. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. Now listen to what God said to Adam in verse 17, Genesis chapter 2. He said, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, God was letting Adam know that the day you eat that fruit, you're going to die. He held accountable. That sin was going to be counted against him because he acted in this reality or in this dimension or in this realm, okay, in this physical realm, not in through images, okay, or dreams, okay. God told him, so it's what you're doing in this realm, your condition in this realm, okay. Like I said, dreams are images, okay? One of the definitions of dream is images. It's thoughts too, but it's images, okay? And just like I said, yes, we are held accountable for our thoughts, okay? If you're sitting there at the house, once again, in this realm, and you're sitting there thinking about murdering and killing stuff, yes, those thoughts held against you, you got to repent of those thoughts, okay? But what I'm trying to get you to see is what really one of the purposes of dreams, okay? Glory to God. Now, let's look at one more scripture. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew chapter 5. And let's look at verse 27 and 28, Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 and verse 28. And look what the word of God says. Jesus said, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Okay. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Do you see that? So you held accountable for that in your heart or that you physically do in this realm and this time, not in images or stuff like that. You understand what I'm saying? I hope that I'm getting this point over to you. So I'm not telling you to just up and disregard dreams. I want you to understand the purposes of these dreams, okay? When it's have a message or conveying a message or something like that, got to understand that, okay? Glory to God. You are held accountable for the sins that you committed in this, you're committing or have committed in this realm, whether it's physical sins or spiritual sins, that which is in your heart, just like we read here. So if you're holding bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart right now, that's what you're held accountable of, not what your, you know, images that occur when you sleep. The images that occur when you sleep, more times it's conveying the message of something that's already going on or already have happened or something that's already happening in this realm, in this reality, in this lifetime right here. You understand that? Okay? Glory to God. So that's the important thing that we need to understand concerning the dreams, okay? And like I said, whoever, and I don't remember them mentioning the person. I think the person was anonymous. I'm not sure. But whoever wrote this question, you see, and like I said, I don't know, and I don't think the pastors and them knew what transpired, what happened to that caused this person to ask this question, okay? I'm just thinking that, and I'm just stepping out on a limb here, that perhaps this person had dreamed about something that they had done or was doing that was sinful, okay? Or they knew that was sinful. And they want to know, well, would God hold me to account of these thoughts in the dream? No, but he holding you to account of these thoughts in your mind right now in this lifetime. So that dream really could be just reflecting what's already in you or in your or the thoughts that you were harboring. Because the dream is like an image reflecting what's going on, okay? And sometimes if it's a warning, let's say, from the Lord concerning something of the future, it can be used to warn you of something that you possibly heading on doing that could be wrong in the future. Now, you ain't been and did it yet, so you're not held accountable, but you'll be held accountable in this lifetime if you did it. So sometimes God will warn you about certain things, like you heading on a certain path to do something, and let's say he may show you in a dream, okay? And you be like, man, I ain't never did nothing like that. I ain't doing that. But see, sometimes God may be showing you where you're heading to and may be warning you, said, don't do this. Sometimes he might tell you, say, hey, you're about to do this certain thing. Don't do it. He instructs you sometimes. You know, sometimes God gives in dreams when God gives, there are personal messages in a dream. Okay? And when he's dealing with you one-on-one, it's personal message, okay? Then he's telling you, hey, he could be telling you some of a future reference, say, hey, you're heading to doing this, don't do it. Whatever you do, don't do it. And could use a dream of showing you doing it, and you may not have actually done it, but you're heading to the road where you're going is you're heading to doing it, and God may be letting you know, say, hey, don't do it. You understand that? So it's conveying a message, these images, okay? Amen. Because, and I've had images, I had dreams where I knew it was Satan, and I woke up in my heart just running faster than a racehorse. You know, you got to remember, and he said, and the Lord said this even in the word of the Lord that he sent through his messenger, the Elijah, that Satan is at work to instill plant doubts and fears in man. And he would use dreams to do that, okay? So he can get access to you. And sometimes if you have a plan doing something, once you do something, he'll plant that dream, get you all stirred up that way. Because you got to remember, you're dealing with different demonic spirits, okay? You know, you're dealing with that. And I think sometimes we tend to forget that. You're dealing with different demonic spirits. So, amen, glory to God. Yeah, thank God for the word of the Lord and what he has given. So that's my stance on that. When they ask, is it possible to sin in the dream, will God hold you accountable as those thoughts in the dream or what it done in the dream? No, you more held accountable of what you're doing in this reality
in this lifetime, what you're doing in this dimension right here. Mostly dreams just reflect what's already happening, or what's already going on. Or it may be in some cases, if it's a warning from God, it could reflect where you're heading. And God may be warning you, say, hey, you're heading in the wrong direction. You're about to do something, you know, because he will give warning dreams, okay? Amen. He will give warning dreams, okay? If he can warn you in this present time right here through his spirit, like if you finna go somewhere and he gave a warning or tell you, you know, kind of forbid you to go there for a purpose, but he definitely can relay message in the dream, you know, if you head on the road to do something and he can show that you're doing this thing, you go, what? But you might say, but I ain't never did that. Well, it could be a warning that that's the way you're heading. Okay. Now, I hope I explained that to y'all that's listening. I hope that I explained that. And I pray to the Lord that, you know, I have, but yeah. And like I told you on that show, Ask the Pastor, I believe that that is a very God-blessed thing that they have been doing over these years, because I think that, and I see this even the more in these last days, see people, and once again, as ministers, we're not sitting up here telling you, say, hey, we know everything, blah, blah, blah. What I'm saying is this, that, and I say this to you that listen that are ministers, this is another reason why you need to study the word, because see, people are looking for answers. And I'm talking about, let's get more specifically, people that really need help. Okay? People that really need help. And God wants you to be so much in his word that when they look for an answer, you give them the answer from his word. Okay? It's something that, you know, we can't, you know, answer him from the word. We're supposed to be, you know, in the ministry. And like I said, that don't mean you're going to know everything. I'm not saying that. But some in the ministry, to me, have really taken this thing lightly, that you are called of God in the ministry. Okay? It's for real, people. It's no joke. It's nothing to play around with. It is serious, okay? And, you know, I thank God for it, you know. Do it be testing that time? Yes, it sure does. But I thank God for, you know, he called me. He called me. Not man, but he called me. And he called me to the place that he got me in now. So thank God, glory to God. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is worthy to be praised and to be glorified this day in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I thank God for what he has done, what he's doing, and what he's going to do. And like I said, you know, I think this show, I think Ask the Pastor is still coming on. Like I said, I haven't watched it over a year because, like I said, I got away from the satellite, you know, because that was one of the things that I'm like, Lord, you know, what they was charging a month and going up each year, it just got ridiculous. So I said, hey, cut that thing off. So it is a blessed show. Thank God for it. Very helpful. And I'm here to tell you, if you're on that panel board, you're gonna get some people gonna be asking questions. And yeah, we know that there's some out there who get silly with it, and I ain't talking about that, but some of these questions are asked people really wants to know. Okay. Some of these questions you're not gonna have an answer for. Okay, I'm just gonna let you know. You know, you're not going to have an answer for it, okay? There was times that I saw them on the broadcast. There was certain strong, tough questions that they had to tell the people, well, we don't have an answer for it, okay? And I commend them on that. okay, do they all agree that's on the panel? No, they don't. In fact, the four that be on panel, they actually are from different churches, okay? Now, for the most part, they are in agreement. They agree with it. I say on the broadcast, maybe 95% of the stuff that they're saying with each other, they are in agreement with it. There's that maybe 5% rim that they say that they're not in agreement with one another about it. But you know what? They handle it in a civilized manner. They don't go, hey, no, you don't know what you're talking about. You won't. No. They'll just tell you, well, I got a different take on that. And then they leave it to the listeners to take what they hear to the Lord. And see, that's basically all you can do. Okay. And just like, you know, we're on this broadcast, and when we deliver this message, we've been telling you since, like I said, Lord said the same this December, make 5 years. We've been telling you this, hey, what you hear from us, take it to the Lord. We have been telling you and telling you this. Not at any means have we told you that we know everything. You better not ask the Lord nothing. You better take what we said. There's no time have we ever done that. And you know what? We ain't planning to do that either, okay? We just deliver to you from what we know, especially from the Lord, and you just take it from there. Now, you can either say to yourself, I'm just listening, but I ain't going to ask the Lord nothing. And that's your preference. That's your preference. I feel sorry for you, but that's your preference, okay? And you got people out there that's like that. Some people just, you know, listen and, quote, want to see, can you, quote, speak? You know, I've had people tell me, say, well, you preach, I'm going to come and hear you one day. I really ain't too keen on that kind of phrase. Because I'd rather you come to hear the word of God instead of just coming, just quote, just to hear me. People just want to hear you to see, can you, quote, preach? Okay? It ain't about the words. When it get like that, I'd rather you not come. Okay? Because, you know, you'll be looking at me and your attention won't be on the word and you're going to miss out something that perhaps God wants to convey over to you. So, you know, I'd rather that you want to come and hear the word of God than saying, I'm going to come and hear you. And, you know, hear how you say, I tell people, so, no, don't do that. Yeah, amen. So, glory be to God. And there are topics, like I said, many of you have heard me and Brother Robert when he was living on this earth, and brothers greatly missed, that every topic that you talk on is not going to be a lovely topic, is not going to be an easy topic. There are going to be some deep things. Some people try to dodge all that. They try to dodge the deep thing. They just want to, you know. And, you know, your preference, but things God wants to be revealed too. And many times God has to pick out specific ones to do it that he know would do it, okay? And once again, it's not to toot their horn, okay? But I have found that some Christians who want to stay in the background and don't want to do, they're very critical of the ones that's stepping out. Oh, you too hard. Oh, you too this. Oh, you too that. And I'm like, okay, but you're not saying anything. You're not doing, you just staying in the background. So, you know, many times, and not to say this as an arrogant statement, but I have to tune people out that do that. Because if you're not going forth really strong to spread the gospel, I ain't talking about being disrespectful or being high-minded, and you sit in the background and hide, and I'm going forth, and now you criticizing me and say, well, you too hard, you too this, too that, and you got to do this and that. I have to tune you out. I have to. Amen. And I think that one of the problems with the church, the body today, is that her voice has become hoarse. Okay? And I mean so hoarse to a point that you can't hear her.
mouth open, but no voice. You ever came across a person that lost their voice? Like some people have when they catch a cold in their throat. Some people got, you know, it happens to them fairly easy that they just lose their voice. They can't talk, you know, or they, you know. Well, see, that's what happened with the body of Christ today in general. You got a few out there that's raising their voice, but I'm talking about in general. Her voice had become so hoarse that you can't hear her. And so the world said, hey, well, if you can't speak up, we'll speak up. And so the world is speaking louder than her. Because she has stayed hid for so long. But see, God, glory to God, is raising up a people who are crying loud and spare not. To damage people? Nope. But to get this word. Listen, you got to go to the people with this word that's deep in stuff. Okay? You ain't going to just go to the person who may have lied today or yesterday or maybe stole the shirt out of the store. You going to more than just them. Some of you going to be going to people that was in witchcraft, voodoo. You know, just like I saw that on YouTube back here, what was it, a few months ago. When, like I told you, this minister, he baptized this woman. And everything seemed to be going okay until they got in this place, and then that demon started speaking through her. Well, he called her this spirit. She had apparently been in some voodoo and witchcraft. You understand that? So some of us is going to be called to the deeper stuff. Those of you that's not, you need to start encouraging those who are, okay? You need to start praying for them, start encouraging them that are really criticizing. You need to encourage, okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, we all in the body of Christ got a work to do. You know, you got some Christians out there thinking you just supposed to sit around. You say a couple of hallelujahs when you come to service, and shoot, you look up at the clock, and the clock's at 12:30 or 1 o'clock, time to go home. That's your day. That's how some of them think. You don't supposed to go door to door, nothing like that. No. Okay? Amen. And I'm going to tell you, and going that door to door, there's going to be time when you're going door to door, you're going to go through some deep stuff. Because like I said, when you're going to some people that have been dabbling with the Ouija board and all that stuff, you go to their house and you just spread a message, they really need help and deliverance. And you go, you got to ask God yourself. And you take off running, man. Yeah, I guess you think God going to be up in heaven smiling. Yes, right, boy. Go save yourself. Huh? Wow. Amen. And I tell you, people, it's the thing that really encourages me is looking toward the reward that Christ has for me. Get encouraged. When I start getting discouraged, feeling down, wondering, say, Lord, is this thing worth it? You know. I have to think about the promise. And I believe that if we would keep our mind on the reward and the promise, okay, amen. Glory to God. You know, if we're living in the time now, as I get ready to close out with prayer, that the masses that you see coming to church or in the churches are breaking down because the testings that's in the world today is revealing the true nature of the heart that's in the church buildings. Okay? Amen. Just like I said about the church, I said, I wonder when do we think, now we have been talking about God is going to send people this way. And I said, I wonder when do we think he was going to send it, when the sun was shining? No, this was the time, especially when the virus hit last year, that was a perfect time, okay, for them to be sent. But see, he was missing in action.
Amen. We was missing in action. So, you know, glory to God. Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, for this day you made and created. Father, I pray that what I've done was pleasing in your sight and delivering your word and your message to the people. So I ask today, the Lord God, in Jesus' name, that glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that the seed that I planted, that you will water and bring forth the increase for your glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord God, we magnify you and we praise your name in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. In Jesus' almighty name. Lord God, I thank you and I praise you. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank God for all you been listening. And glory be to God. Lord, say the same. I'll be back on tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Look for the advertisement then tomorrow night. So once again, this is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. May God bless you. May he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.